ನಮಸ್ಸರ್ವೇಭ್ಯಃ. ಎವ್ರಿಬಡಿ, ಆನ್ ಬಿಹಾಫ್ ಆಫ್ ವ್ಯೋಮ ಸಂಸ್ಕೃತ ಪಾಠಶಾಲಾ, ಐ ವೆಲ್ಕಮ್ ಆಲ್ ಆಫ್ ಯು ಟು ದಿಸ್ ನ್ಯೂ ಕೋರ್ಸ್, ಅಂಡರ್ಸ್ಟ್ಯಾಂಡಿಂಗ್ ದ ಗೀತಾ ವರ್ಸ್ ಬೈ ವರ್ಸ್. ಸೊ ದಿಸ್ ಕೋರ್ಸ್ ಇಸ್ ಅ ಕಂಟಿನ್ಯೂಯೇಷನ್ ಟು ದ ಇಂಟ್ರೊಡಕ್ಷನ್ ಟು ವೇದಾಂತ ಕೋರ್ಸ್ which we had a few months ago, in which Srimati Rama Sivaraman introduced us to the basic concepts of Vedanta. Many people, it was a very popular course which was attended by many people, and they were looking for what next. So as a answer to that, we have this new course on understanding the Bhagavad Gita, where Srimati Rama Sivaraman will take you through each verse of the Gita and explain its significance, the meaning, and its the spiritual concepts behind it in English. So this is a course for beginners, so we are not assuming any Sanskrit knowledge on your behalf, but still, as the teacher keeps stressing, knowledge of Sanskrit is very, very useful for understanding all our texts and the scriptures. So we have many courses in our portal itself which you can use to get introduced to Sanskrit, and the teacher will also introduce all the major concepts and explain them as and when the occasion arises. So we thank Srimati Rama Sivaraman for conducting this course through our Pathashala. So just a couple of instructions for those who are attending the webinar for the first time. So the platform we are using for conducting these classes is called GoToWebinar. Once you register for the webinar, you will receive emails before each class, which will have the link to allow you to join the webinar. You can join using your computers or your smartphones. There are free GoToWebinar apps for both Android and iPhone. So you can download those apps and attend the webinars using your phones also. So in the webinar, generally all the attendees are muted because there are so many people and it will cause a lot of echo and disturbances. But you can still interact with the teacher at any time. So there are two options. One of the options is a raise your hand symbol, which is a hand symbol with upward arrow, which should be present on your screen. So clicking on that once will raise your hand and mark it so that we can see whose hand is raised. And at appropriate times, whenever the teacher pauses for question and answer, she will unmute you and allow you to ask your question. Also, you can type in your questions. There is a questions panel in which you can type in your questions and send it. So the teacher will have a look at it. And again, when to take the questions and when to answer it is upon the teacher's discretion, because too many interruptions in between may also disrupt the flow of class. But she will be happy to take all questions from you. So you can either type it and send it, or you can raise your hands. After the class, the recording of the class and the notes, the presentation which he provides, will both be uploaded in our YouTube channel and our course page in the portal www.sanskritfromhome.in. You just have to log in to your account in the portal to access the lessons. It will usually be uploaded within a couple of days. So if the class is on Sunday, the recording should be uploaded maximum by Wednesday of each week. So in case you happen to miss a class, you can catch up using the recordings. Also, one more important thing to note, that this sessions are starting from the third chapter, because the teacher had already covered the first two chapters as a part of a class in her home. We have already uploaded the recordings and notes of all those classes in the course page. So if you have not gone through them, please do go through them so that you have a better idea. Of course, she'll start with a summary of what happened in the first two chapters before starting the third chapter. Also, please do go through the Introduction to Vedanta course if you have not done so already. It's a very important course which deals with the basic concepts of Vedanta. So most of the concepts will be repeated through the Gita. Okay? So please do make time. It's only 11 lectures of 1 hour each. So please do make sure you go through those lectures also. So with this, I request Srimati Rama Sivaraman to start the classes.
Thank you very much, Soumya. So since this is the first time that, this is the first class for introduction to Gita as well as the Gita course itself, I would, like to let you know that we normally start the classes with a very small one-line prayer. This is my guru. And this is because the tradition expects, and we must also remember that we need to revere our Guru Parampara, starting with Lord Shiva himself all the way unto my own Guru. So it is customary to chant this together. So we will actually be chanting this in the very beginning of the class, every class. Sada Shiva Samarambham Shankaracharya Madhyamam Asmadacharya Paryantam Vande Guru Paramparam Om. Okay. Since I already have completed the Introduction to Vedanta course, as well as chapter 1 and 2, and all the recordings are available, as Soumya just said, what I propose to do in the maybe next one or two classes is that I will do an introduction to Gita itself, followed by a very brief summary of the Dhyana Shlokas, followed by the first chapter and the second chapter summary. So by the time we get to the third chapter beginning, we would at least have an idea of what has been covered in this part. However, I request each one of you to take your time and do this in parallel so that you get the benefit of going through the detailed lectures that are available. One very important point that you might want to remember is the Bhagavad Gita. If you see the structure and organization of the Gita, the first chapter is an introduction or setting the context or the war scene unfolds. And the second chapter is actually the summary or a full summary of the Vedanta as well as Gita. It covers almost all the significant topics. And similarly, the 18th chapter also summarizes. So therefore, once we get into chapter 3, we are actually getting into the details. So you don't have to feel bad if you're not able to cover 1 and 2 in detail before we start 3. Just try and do it in parallel. That's the only thing that I wanted to, make sure that we all understand before I embark on today's class. Okay? So, let us quickly get into, the background of Gita, why, etc., right? So, Gita is actually connected with the spirituality, and what is a spiritual program and what is spirituality, we'll soon see. Now, what, why and how, right, is what we are going to quickly see as part of the introduction, right? Now, in our tradition, we've actually got a very well-designed and time-tested spiritual program, right, by which anyone who wants to convert their normal way of day-to-day living into a spiritual journey is free to do so. The spiritual journey has two facets, right? A complete and thorough study of the three spiritual courses referred to as Prasthana Trayam, right? And while studying these courses, it becomes very, very important to also bring about necessary changes in our lifestyle. Mere study will remain an academic scholarship, right? So necessary changes in lifestyle is also required. So study plus relevant lifestyle is the spiritual program. And this is one significant departure from the normal subjects that we are used to in college and school. Because the way we learn science or engineering is, we never bring about any change in our personality or lifestyle. Yes, some leadership programs do look at it. But if you look at the spiritual program, it is academic study plus relevant lifestyle study, because we do not want to have a gap between what we learn and what we implement. And if one of them is missing, the spiritual program will not be successful, right? Very, very important. So there are two governing aspects, and there are three spiritual courses for the study of, the complete study will involve three spiritual courses, or the Prasthana Trayam, right? Now both are compulsory, as I said, and they complement each other. Now, the three spiritual courses for the Prasthana Trayam is, the first one is Smriti Prasthanam, right? Which is a thorough and complete study of the Bhagavad Gita, right? Now it's called Smriti because it is based on the Shruti. Anything that is based on the Shruti and has come down, right, is Smriti. We will also quickly take a look at one of the slides that shows how our Shastra is organized. This was covered in detail in the Vedanta topic 1, but I will definitely bring up that slide to show you all. So the first one of the Prasthana Trayam is Smriti Prasthanam. The second one is Shruti Prasthanam. And the third one is Nyaya Prasthanam. Shruti Prasthanam is nothing but the Upanishads, right? Or the, there is a principal set of Upanishads that are normally recommended these days, not the entire set of Vedas. And that happens to be the Shruti Prasthanam. Shruti means through hearing, the rishis have actually got it, and it is a what we call as apaurusheya vishayam, which means it is not through human beings, it has come down directly from God to the rishis, right? The third one is Nyaya Prasthanam, and Nyaya Prasthanam is usage of logic to remove all possible or seeming conflicts between Upanishads. So that is Brahma Sutram. So the third one is Brahma Sutram, which is Nyaya Prasthanam, right? Now, if you see, there are Smriti, Shruti and Nyaya Prasthanam are part of our spiritual journey, and they are not optional, but they are compulsory for the spiritual journey. But tradition does not compel anyone to do this. If you are interested in undertaking a spiritual journey, then the three Prasthanams become compulsory for study, right? And Gita happens to be a preparatory course. Upanishads happen to be the main course, and Nyaya Prasthanam or Brahma Sutram happens to be the reinforcement course, right? So preparatory course, main course and reinforcement course. So today we are embarking on the preparatory course, right? That is the Gita. Now, Prasthana Trayam is also, you know, known as Vedanta Darshanam, right? Now, Vedanta Darshanam has a very, very profound, incredible and mind-boggling teaching, right? And we cannot accept this in the beginning. We will find it extremely difficult to accept. Now, if we have patience, what happens is the teaching will become beneficial. And if you ask me, how do you know that it will work? It has worked for several people in the past. For instance, Krishna tells in Gita, Vita raga bayakroda manmaya mamupashritaha bahavo jnana tapasa puta madbhava magataha. Hey Arjuna, many people have followed this teaching which I am trying to revive now, right? And many people have benefited who have been freed from fear, greed and anger, and they have tried it out and they have benefited, right? So what's this teaching? Prasthana Trayam or Vedanta Darshanam has got the following message, right? The most fundamental problem of the human being is that he or she has not understood who he or she is. Self-ignorance is the problem. So says Vedanta Darshanam, okay? So that is the most important message. And this by itself may be okay, not knowing something about oneself, but it's followed by misunderstanding or misconception or wrong conclusion about ourselves. So fundamental problem is a mixture of self-ignorance and self-misconception, known in Sanskrit as Ajnanam plus Adhyasaha, right? Tragedy is that we don't even know that we have a problem, okay? That is the bigger issue, right? The diagnosis of the problem itself has not taken place. So therefore, there is no necessity to act on the problem, right? So people always say that, you know, philosophy is like a blind person looking for a black cat in a dark room, which is not there, right? So this is what people define philosophy as, right? So as Shankaracharya says in Bhajagovindam, right? Sattvam koyam kuta ayataha kame janani kome tataha. Did you ever inquire, where did I come from? Who am I? Who are my parents in reality? Where am I headed? Is there a purpose in life? We never inquire, right? Therefore, what is required, the Veda says, is self-inquiry leading to self-knowledge, knocking off this self-misunderstanding, right? It's difficult to understand because our vision of understanding of ourselves and the vision of Vedanta Darshanam about ourselves is diagonally opposite. Typically, the example given is, what we feel is, this is reality and fact, I am a small human being in this vast universe, right? The more I understand about the size of the cosmos, the galaxies, the stars, I feel still smaller and insignificant. Vedanta Darshanam comes and says, no, you are not a speck in this vast infinite cosmos. The vast cosmos is a dot in the infinite you. Obviously, this is mind-boggling and we are not going to accept this because it is diametrically or diagonally opposite to what we have been mentally conditioned so far and also which is obvious to us by seeing around us, right? So even in Atma Bodha, Shankaracharya says the galaxies are actually like bubbles falling and raising in us, right? But we don't buy this teaching that easily, right? So to create some belief in our mind, our scriptures give an example with the hope that the example will help in developing partial faith, right? What is the example given? The example of our experience of dream is given, right? We generally do not spend time to study our dream, right? We just project how does a dream come about? I project a dream through my mind, right? It's a complete world in itself, a world that's very similar to the external world. It has got people, it has got buildings, it has got nature, you name it, everything that is there in the external world plus something extra is also there in the internal world that we create. And effortlessly, sankalpa matrena, I create the world. Effortlessly, I create the world. And while I am sleeping, right, I alone support that dream, right, and I maintain the dream, and at some point in time, I just fold back or resolve the dream into myself, right? So the cause of creation, maintaining and dissolution, shishti sthiti laya karanam, with regard to the dream world is me, right? So that is the key takeaway from this is, I create the dream, I alone support the dream, I alone fold back the dream into myself, right? Now, I am Paramatma with regard to the dream world. I'm sure we can accept this fact because I am the one who's creating it, right? Now, Taittiriya Upanishad, Bhrigu-vali says, right, where the student Bhrigu approaches Varuna, Yatova imani bhutani jatani, Brahman from whom everything is born, supported and dissolved. Every day we have this experience in our dream, right? Now, after projecting the dream, I myself become one of the members of the world. In the dream, you can see yourself in the dream actively going about, right? The individual in the dream is called Jivatma as per the scriptures, right? I, the Paramatma, enter the dream world and become a Jivatma. After this, in the dream, I completely forget that I am the Paramatma who created this dream. I understand myself now as what an insignificant living being in this vast universe, that's the dream world with lots of mountains, oceans, etc. And I say I am powerless. I am a helpless creature struggling with no control over the happenings in this world. So that powerful Paramatma has now become this powerless Jivatma, right? So in this dream, I completely forget that I am the Paramatma who created this dream in the first place, right? Now I understand myself as an insignificant living being. Now, suppose, assume that a guru appears in the dream, right? And he says, why are you thinking you are an insignificant Jivatma in this universe? You have to imagine, the guru is coming in the dream, okay? And the guru is saying, why are you thinking you are an insignificant Jivatma? You are none other than Srishti Sthiti Laya Karanam. Tasat Vam Asi. Right? Chandogya Upanishad says, it's that you. This guru is telling the Shishya. Now what's the Shishya going to say? You must be kidding, right? I cannot buy your statement, right? I am clearly experiencing this vast universe, right? This is the truth and nothing but the truth, right? How do I believe you? The Shishya asks, right? Now Guru says, wake up, right? Uttishta, Jagrata, Kathopanishad says, right? Please arise and awake, right? Shishya says, why should I wake up? There's no need for him to wake up. He's enjoying or whatever it is, he's in a world, in a dream world that he has created, right? He says, I'm already awake, right? Guru is trying to awaken him in dream and he says, I'm already awake. Guru says, you think you are awake, right? Maximum you may be partially awake. If you are totally awake, you will never say what you are saying now, right? Shishya says, now, okay, I will try. If you want me to wake up, is there a program to wake up, right? Imagine that it's all happening in dream, right? So, what happens is, Guru says, yes, we have a very well-defined spiritual program for awakening only. Jivatma has to awaken to the fact that I am the Paramatma. Shishya then says, Guru, okay, right? This is what happens to most of us. But just imagine in the dream this is happening. Shishya says, Guru, okay, I think waking can wait. Okay? I don't think I am ready yet to wake up. Right? As an individual Jivatma, I have lot of work. I have to continue for some more time. I have lot of commitments. My family, children, grandchildren, office, etc. Right? And after all, I as Jivatma is reasonably happy. Right? So I don't have this desperate necessity to become this unknown Paramatma. A known devil is better, right? Sort of. So it could be a little better, of course. This Jivatma is in the dream, he may want to better his life, right? So if you have some other program other than waking up business, which will make me a better Jivatma, I would like to have that program, right? Later, hopefully one day, I may become interested in waking up. If and whenever I am ready to wake up, I'll pursue the program that you are suggesting. Now, I only want to be a better Jivatma, a better wife, a better husband, a better daughter-in-law in all spheres, right? Guru says, I know this very, very well, right? And he says, there is a very well-designed program for both types of people, right? The one who wants to improve their life, we have a Jivatma improving program and we have a Jivatma awakening program for those who want to be awake and who wants to waken up, right? So the first course of study is Smriti Prasthanam. Gita study is the preparatory course, which is the Jivatma improvement program, right? So that is why Gita is more suited for the Grihasthashrama people of all age. There is a very, very common misconception that people who are above 50, above 60, post-retirement should go to Gita. No. My own experience over the last 15 years is that I think by learning the basics of Gita and applying the lessons learned from here early on in life, you have actually embarked on a Jivatma improvement program early and it helps you, right? We will see how it helps also, right? So the preparatory course, the Smriti Prasthanam Gita is aimed at Jivatma improvement, right? The other two courses, Shruti and Nyaya Prasthanam, are for awakening, right? Now what are the benefits of the preparatory course, right? The first one is improvement of the Jivatma in general. Okay. The second one is, it equips the Jivatma with certain life skills and resources, right? Now, there are some examples that I have given here, which you can go back and later see the meaning, right? There is a verse in chapter, this one is chapter 6 and verse 5. Udare dātmanātmānam nātmānam avasādeet ātmaiva hyātmano bandurātmaiva ripurātmanaha. This talks about how you should elevate yourself with the power of your mind. How self-effort is the best form of help that you can do to yourself. Now, this is a shloka that I often quote when I do induction programs in the company, right? Because youngsters most often expect people to spoon feed in terms of training, in terms of better, during appraisals, etc. They want so much of spoon feeding and there is very less of self-effort in, you know, keeping abreast with technology, etc. So it is very, very important, a shloka from a very practical application point of view, right? Similarly, you have chapter 17, there is a verse number 15, which talks about four filters that you should apply for speech, vaktapas. Okay? You can see what is happening with all the Twitters and how it is getting into trouble. People are getting fined. We saw Elon Musk's case. We also saw the chief diversity officer of, one of these companies spoke something, got into trouble. So these kind of issues we can sort out, or we can prevent them from happening if we are able to take the four filters of Vaktapas, which is given in chapter 17, and you can actually apply them, right? Anudvega karam vakyam, satyam, priyam, hitam, right? You can see the verse afterwards. And then we have in chapter 18 also, we have a 25th verse which talks about understanding the long-term consequences of the damages that we are doing. How you should be, have consideration for others, how you should spend according to one's own capacity, why you should not waste precious resources on earth, all of this. Very, very practical, right? And then the third one, the third point that is given here is measurable self-improvement in terms of FIR reduction and CCC increase. Now, those of you who have already gone through the introduction to Vedanta would definitely be relate to it. FIR is frequency, intensity and recovery period after an emotional impact, right? It can be in the form of a disturbance, which is, bad, or it can also be extreme happiness or whatever, right? And CCC is, of course, calmness, cheerfulness and confidence, right, will increase. In case you want to go back and refer, it should be available in talks, Introduction to Vedanta, talks 4 and 5, right? And lastly, this Jivatma improvement program prepares the Jivatma for the awakening program, right? Now, we are going to embark on the preparatory course called the Gita, right? And if you see, we saw this Shastram, the six layers of Shastram in Introduction to Vedanta, the very first class, you will see that Gita actually is part of Mahabharata, right? So, therefore, it will come under Itihasa. So, all the blocks which are below the Shruti are together referred as Smriti, right? Because they are Paurusheya Vishyam or have been authored by humans, right? So, Gita is part of Mahabharata. Mahabharata is an Itihasa. It has about 1 lakh verses and Gita has about 700 verses spread over 18 chapters, right? Now, the subject matter of the Gita itself is twofold, Yoga Shastra and Brahma Vidya. You will see in every single chapter, you will see this. Both Karma Yoga and Jnana Yoga are dealt with in detail. Now, people may have this doubt, oh, what happens to Bhakti Yoga and Upasana Yoga, right? The way we are going to cover, in case you have not seen the introduction to Vedanta slides. Now, Upasana Yoga is also a form of Karma Yoga, right? Which is, you know, also referred as Jnana Yoga. And Bhakti Yoga, as we saw there, is something that is in and through all the yogas, right? Whether it is Karma Yoga, Upasana Yoga or Jnana Yoga, Bhakti is very much part of everything, right? So, if you actually refer to Introduction to Vedanta classes 3, 4 and 5, you should be able to get a bird's eye view of all these different types of yoga. Okay. Soumya, is there any question? Otherwise, I'll just proceed. I can't see it.
No question.
Okay. I will stop at the end. Okay. So, moving on. Now, a little bit of about the background, right? So that we can all be on the same page. So, Bhagavad Gita.
Raised hands. There are a couple of raised hands. Maybe you can.
Okay. Sure, sure. Yeah, one second. Gina Mohandas. Yeah, I've unmuted you, Gina.
Hi, ma'am. Nice to see you again.
Thank you.
I was there for the Introduction to Vedanta class.
Thank you, thank you. Yeah, I remember. Please go on.
Yes, ma'am.
Do you have any questions?
No, ma'am, no.
Okay, thank you. Yeah, Neelima Nambooli. I'm not able to unmute you because you're self-muted, Neelima.
Okay. Can you hear me, Mahoday?
Yeah, please go ahead.
Hari Om. So I have a quick question on the previous slide, Mahoday. It's regarding the Apaurusheya and Paurusheya. So
okay.
In Apaurusheya, I think we are calling out Shruti as part of it. So can I say that the examples of the Shruti could be the actual Vedas itself that are created, that are not created by the Purusha?
Correct. Correct.
Okay.
This was covered in detail in the first talk of Introduction to Vedanta. So I didn't repeat both. Basically, all the Upanishads, which are part of Veda Anta Bhaga and Veda Purva Bhaga, both come under Shruti.
Okay.
Yeah. Thank you. Radha Suresh? I think you self-muted yourself.
Hello.
Yeah, Hari Om.
Namaste, ma.
Namaste.
Yeah, no, I was just trying. I was first introducing myself, no? This is the first time I was in the webinar.
Okay.
So initially, I just raised my hand just to click it and find it out what it is.
No problem. No problem. Thank you. Shibu Sukumaran, I think you're self-muted. Shibu Sukumaran. Soumya, what you can do is, you can actually, I don't know how to do that, you can turn off the raised hand of everybody and I will take the questions towards the end. I'll continue now.
Mataji, can you hear me?
Yeah, yeah, go ahead.
Sorry, I just clicked the palm without knowing that it is for raised hand in the beginning.
No problem. No problem. Yeah.
Thank you.
Soumya? Soumya Gayatri? Yeah, I think it was the same problem with everyone. Okay, let me proceed. Maybe from next class onwards, I will stop for questions at the end of the session, giving you at least 10 minutes to ask questions. Okay, so let me proceed. Now, Bhagavad Gita is part of the Mahabharata. Okay, now most of us know that. Now, the Bhagavad Gita is a teaching which is obtained as part of the great Itihasa, right? And Itihasa is a form of Smriti, right? Now, of this vast literature, right, it's really, really voluminous. Mahabharata has about 100,000 verses, right? Now, Gita is a technical word used in our Shastram, right, to convey any spiritual knowledge, right? Gita is a generic term that is used to convey the meaning spiritual knowledge. Now, Bhagavad Gita is the most famous spiritual knowledge which is called Gita. There are other Gitas in case you are not aware. For instance, we have Uddhava Gita, right? We have Anu Gita, right? We have Bhikshu Gita, we have Avadhuta Gita, various Gitas, right? It is not, everything is called Gita because Gita is a generic name used for spiritual knowledge. So, it's an important point to remember, right? Now, context of the Gita. You must be knowing that it is the Mahabharata battlefield in which Arjuna is overwhelmed by the situation, right? He is emotionally shattered and he is verbally choked. He is physically not even able to handle his Gandiva, right? So, such a person who was materially so successful, who was such a great guy, who was number one in the world, has actually come to a stage where he is even thinking of committing suicide. And Lord Krishna is trying to make Arjuna strong enough to confront the physical situation and to do what he has to do, his duty, right? So, this is the context. So, this context is going to be graphically depicted in chapter 1 of the Bhagavad Gita. And when Arjuna surrenders to Lord Krishna, note the word, surrenders to Lord Krishna and takes him as a guru, Lord Krishna gives the Bhagavad Gita teaching, right? So, Gita is in a dialogue form. Vyasa actually tries to prevail on Dhritarashtra. That's actually the background. And he offers to Dhritarashtra a special vision which Dhritarashtra has refused. And therefore, Sanjaya is narrating. Okay, the context is that news that Bhishma has fallen, right? Dhritarashtra is so confident, right, that Pandavas could not have fought the war. He's so confident. And Sanjaya described about Bhishma having fallen in Bhishma Parva, right? Bhishma, Drona and Yudhishthira dialogue is there just before this portion, right? Like they are all there. And at this stage, now actually, there is the way Mahabharata goes is they find out how they can kill Bhishma, and then Bhishma says he will respond later. Initially, all these conversations have happened, and then now Bhishma has fallen. This is the context in which the entire flashback happens, and we get the Gita itself, right? So in response, Sanjaya says, "This is what happened. Arjuna was, you know, like this, Krishna gave the Gita teaching, and then that is the narration, right? So the context is the context is exactly what I explained now, and it is in the form of a dialogue between Lord Krishna and Arjuna, right? Now, we should not ask in the war whether they had time, what happened in front of everybody standing after the conch has blown. How did they have time to discuss 700 verses, etc.? Because you will see, as we start studying Vedanta more and more, the time and space itself is very different. The only time and space we know is what we can imagine. So, better not to dwell too much into how and when and is it possible, not possible, etc. Right? It could have happened in different ways. Now, the 18 chapters of the Gita, right, have some large chapters, some small chapters. So, the smallest one has 20 verses and the largest one has 78 verses. Okay? And as I said, the scene is in the Mahabharata battlefield. Right? And actually, if you see this whole thing you see is a flashback which is there in Bhishma Parva. Right? So chapter 23 to 40 of the 6th book of Mahabharata, right, which is the Bhishma Parva. So if any of you are interested and have the time, you can actually get the original volumes of Mahabharata with English translation and read it. It is very, very interesting. Right? So the context will be graphically depicted in chapter 1 of the Gita. So we will do a quick summary because so that you know you're also able to appreciate the context in case you have not done it in detail. Right? So now it is very important for us to chant prayers before we undertake any of the studies, more so scriptural studies. Why prayers? Now in the scriptures, and I think this is very apt, and once you start appreciating this, we understand how rich our culture has been, right? Why prayers, if you ask? The scriptures say that there are three kinds of obstacles, right? And we chant together, right? So that we can prevent those obstacles. What are the obstacles? They are called Adhyatmika, Adi Daivika and Adi Bhautika obstacles, which means some obstacles which are pertaining to the nature. You are trying to attend a class, you are trying to go, there's heavy rain, lightning, all of that. Second one is our own body. We want to go, we have knee pain, leg pain, headache, all of that. Right? In nature, it can also be you want to leave at 5:45 for a class, some guests turn up in your house. Right? You may not be in a position to tell them. Right? And Adi Daivika is a form of God, basically, the devatas and all of them can cause any obstacle. So, we pray always to prevent these obstacles so that our study is undertaken peacefully and it progresses in a nice manner, right? So we always do these prayers. Now, in the Mahabharata, the prayer comes in the beginning of the Mahabharata. Whereas Gita is in the middle or somewhere in the middle. So there is no separate prayer for Gita. So Gita Dhyana Shloka by practice, by tradition, has been taken from Gudartha Deepika, which is written by Madhusudana Saraswati. So he is a very great Acharya. And we chant that as Dhyana Shloka. So, today, we will all chant together, right? For your information, I have about 4 or 5 students here with me. So, we will all chant together the Gita Dhyana Shloka because today we must do it together. And from the next class onwards, what I'm going to do is I will log in by about 8:15 to 8:20 and around 8:25, we will chant the Gita Dhyana Shloka. Okay? A request to all of you is, since this is not a language or a science subject that we are studying, it is important for us to start focusing on some, you know, on the scriptural study itself and forget about the external world around us. So these 5 minutes will also help in our focusing on the Dhyana Shlokas and the Bhagavad Gita that we will undertake at 8:30. So from next week at 8:25 I'll start chanting. Today, since this is the first day, we will all chant together. I request each one of you to follow this and chant, and from next week we will do it at 8:25. Parthaya Pratibodhitam Bhagavatam Narayanena Swayam Vyasena Gratitam Purana Munina Maddi Mahabharatam Advaitamrita Varshini Bhagavati Ashtadashadhyayini Ambatvamanusandadhami Bhagavat Gite Bhavadvishini Namostute Vyasa Vishala Buddhe Pullaravindayata Patra Netra एनत्वया भारत तैल पूर्णः प्रज्वालितो ज्ञानमय प्रदीपः प्रपन्न पारिजाताय स्तोत्रवेत्रैकपानये ज्ञानमुद्राय कृष्णाय गीतामृतदुहे नमः सर्वोपनिषदो गावो दोग्धा गोपालनन्दनः पार्थो वत्स सुधीर्भोक्ता दुग्धं गीतामृतं महत् वसुदेवसुतं देवं कंसचाणूरमर्दनम् देवकी परमानन्दं कृष्णं वन्दे जगद्गुरुं भीष्मद्रोणतटा जयद्रथजला गान्धारनीलोत्पला शल्यग्राहवती कृपेण वहनि कर्णेन वेलाकुला अश्वत्थामविकर्णघोरमकरा दुर्योधनावर्तिनी सोतीर्णा खलु पाण्डवैरणनदी कैवर्तकेशवः पाराशरीयवचः सरोजममलम् गीतार्थगन्धोत्कटम् नानाख्यानकेसरम् हरिकथा सम्बोधनाबोधितम् लोके सज्जन षट्पदैरहरः पीतीयमानम् मुदा भूयाद्भारत पङ्कजम् कलिमल प्रध्वंसि न श्रेयसे मूकम् करोति वाचालम् पङ्गुम् लङ्घयते गिरिम् यत्कृपातमहम् वन्दे परमानन्दमाधवम् यम् ब्रह्मा वरुणेन्द्ररुद्रमरुतः स्तुन्वन्ति दिव्यैस्तवैः वेदैः साङ्गपदक्रमोपनिषदैः गायन्ति यम् सामगा ध्यानावस्थिततद्गतेन मनसा पश्यन्ति यम् योगिनः यस्यान्तम् न विदु सुरासुरगणाः देवाय तस्मै नमः. ओके, सो फ्रम् नेक्स्ट् वीक् आन्वर्ड्स् वी विल् चान्ट् बिफोर् वी स्टार्ट् द क्लासेस्. ओके, सो नौ एस् ऐ सेड् दिस् ध्यान श्लोका हस् बीन् रिटन् बै मधुसूदन सरस्वती. ओके, नाट् व्यासाचार्य, वि मस्ट् रिमेम्बर् दट्. ओके, एण्ड् इट् इस् part of Gudartha Deepika, right, which is a commentary on the Gita itself, and there are 9 verses in total, and there are 4 namaskaras here. What are the 4 namaskaras? We have one namaskara on Mahabharata itself, because we have to be thankful to Mahabharata as a itihasa which has given us this Gita. Then Gita itself for the teaching, verses 1 and 4. And then Vyasacharya, the author of Gita. Then Krishna, who is the Lord who has given us this teaching, verses 3, 5, 6, 8 and 9. We'll briefly see each of these. So I'm just going to club it under the 4 categories and quickly go over it. So Mahabharata Namaskara, which is the Parasharya Vachasta Roja Mamalam Gita Artha Gantot Katam. That's verse, right? Now, here, Mahabharata is compared to a very vast lotus, and the episodes are compared to the filaments of the flower, right, which is so rich in fragrance of the Gita. And the noble people, right, are compared to the bees who drink the nectar, because there are narration of Srihari's stories here, right? And the nectar destroys the impurities of the Kali Yuga, Satya Mahabharata, you are remembering and praying, right? So that is the Mahabharata Namaskara, which is in verse 7. Then all these are covered in detail in the introduction, in the Gita chapter 1. Before I commence chapter 1, you can go through it. In Gita Namaskara, we have two of them, verse 1 and 4. Verse 1 is Parthaya Pratibodhitam, and verse 4 is of course Sarvopanishado Gavaha, right? So in verse 1, Gita is looked upon as a mother, right? And the glory, the teacher is Lord Narayana himself. The student Arjuna is very great. Therefore, the teaching must be great, right? And Vyasacharya, the reporter, right? He is Mahavishnu Avatara, right? Very, very important. Vyasacharya is Mahavishnu Avatara, right? And he is Purana Munina, author of many Puranas, plus the ancient Kavi of great wisdom, right? So, that is Vyasacharya, because Vyasacharya is Mahavishnu's avataras himself. Because some people may have contention saying, how do they know that Krishna told the Gita? Maybe it is all authored by Vyasacharya himself. However, Vyasacharya himself is Vishnu's avatara. We must not forget that. So it is Vishnu avatara who is actually even authored the Gita, right? So all the Upanishads, right? Here, in the second verse, are compared to cows. And Krishna is the milkman, right? And Arjuna is the calf. And the pure-minded one is the partaker. And the supreme nectar of Gita is the milk. Very beautiful verse, Sarvopanishado Gavaha, which is verse number 4. So, we have two verses, right? Which is Gita Namaskara. Then we have Vyasa Namaskara itself in verse 2, right? The great Vyasa who has compiled the four Vedas. When we say compile the four Vedas, we must remember Veda is Shruti. So the Shruti has been divided into four parts so that it will be easier for different people to adopt one Veda and make sure that they know that end to end, right? And the inner beauties of Vyasa is expressed as his outer facial beauty. People say, or the narration say, that Vyasacharya was not very great looking, etc. But remember that his personality is the inner beauty of Vyasa which gets expressed, right? And the huge lamp of Vedic wisdom has been lit up by you for guiding the humanity which is in darkness. So, namaskaras to you, Vyasa, right? So, in Vishnu Sahasranamam, you would have read Vyasaya Vishnu Rupaya, right? So, it is Vyasacharya is Vishnu Rupa, right? And namaskaras to you. Now, Krishna Namaskara is in verses 3, 5, 6, 8 and 9, right? Now, they are all simple verses like Prapanna Parijataya, Totra Vaitrike Kapane, and then Vasudeva Sutam Devam, right? They are all simple verses. But important verse that I just wanted to point out was that Bhishma Drona Tata Jayadra Tajala, which is the sixth verse, right? Now, here a very, very important point that we need to notice. Later on in Gita, we will discuss about four types of bhakti, right? Artha bhakti, Artharthi bhakti, Jignasa bhakti and Jnani bhakti, right? Now, Artha bhakti is a bhakti where you go to God when you are in crisis, right? Artharthi is what is termed as business bhakti, right? Because you want to flourish in your business and your profession. But Artha bhakti is crisis bhakti. So here, in this case, the crisis is the Mahabharata war. But the important thing that we must note here, right, is that when both Duryodhana and Arjuna went to meet Krishna for help in the war, the point to be noted is Duryodhana chose the wrong party, right? He asked for material things, whereas Arjuna asked for Krishna himself representing spiritual success. This is a subtle point that comes out here, right? Very important, right? So, this is Krishna Namaskara. So, there are five verses for Krishna Namaskara, right? So, what we will do is, since, you know, we are already close to the time, we will now open up for question and answers. And before that, I will just chant the Purnamada mantra and then open for question and answers, because that is also customary that we close the the class with a Purnamada Stotram, right? Purnamada Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vashishyate. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. Okay, now we can open up for questions. Let me just see if anybody has raised the hand. Gina, I think you should put your hand down because it's always showing up, or maybe you really have a question. I don't know. Yeah, I think Soumya Gayatri. Yeah, I've opened up your line, please.
Namaskaram. This is the first time I'm attending this webinar. Just a formal question. So since we read so many scriptures and so many forms of slokas day in and day out, like for example, this is the Margari Masam where we read a lot of Tirupavai. Tirupavai happened to be on Kali Yuga, where it is related to Dwapara Yuga, where Krishna lives. But Andal herself assumes that she is born, brought up in Dwaraka, and she has been in Dwaraka Yukam and inculcated a lot of similarities or copy the instant which is available in Dwaraka and then frame a picture as if to go and read or reach her Paramatma and Jivatma. So in today's context, where these kind of Upanishads or scriptures being written centuries ahead, how do we as a basic human being relate to our day-to-day corporate world or in terms of basic comparison to our day-to-day and day-to-day life? That will help us to understand this essence of each and everything very clear. Since you have a corporate profile, it will also help us to read a document.
Most importantly, this question was about I'm just telling my students here. This question was about Andal and Krishna and how those kind of fables or stories are applicable in today's world and corporate world. Now, as far as the course on Vedanta and Gita go, they address the spiritual side of Veda. So in introduction to Vedanta, I dealt with this in detail on what does the Veda Purva Bhaga cater to and what the Veda Anta Bhaga caters to. But briefly, since you asked, Veda Purva Bhaga is the one that actually covers rituals, various forms of gods, all of that, right? So any of these which are related to God and, is a way of expressing your devotion towards God, and the devotion towards God makes you a better person or purifies your mind to be ready to embark on a spiritual journey. So the question that you asked is more in the realm of Karmakanda, right, which helps in what we call as Chitta Shuddhi. So anything that you do, whether it is, a form of prayer of your Ishta Devata, right, or going to the temple or undertaking pilgrimage, any of these, they all come under Karmakanda and they will help towards Chitta Shuddhi or mental refinement. So I think my request to you is if you could go through the talks 4, 5, etc. on the differences between Karma Yoga, Jnana Yoga and Bhakti Yoga, it will definitely help you in understanding this much better.
Okay. Thanks for it, Rama. Just one more question. Sorry for the interruption. As we always been used to this Gurukula Vasam so many years. Now, the concept of Gurukula Vasam is nowhere, evident. In terms of learning music also, we have the influence or we tend to copy the guru directly. Now, likewise, when we learn these kind of Upanishads during a Gurukula Vasam, the inhabitants of that or the influence or a particular person would be very predominant. So during a course of time, you as a presenter taking up Vedanta, is there a diluteness of, which has been passed on, or is it like it depends purely onto a person? Because this kind of inhibitance is very strong in terms of Carnatic music. When I go to a guru, I directly tend to copy or delineate the essence of whatever, which parampara they belong to. Likewise, their style differs and their notation differs. And we might, if we have been totally deviated, we may even go into a misconception about a particular composer.
Correct. Now, this is an important point. We do not have Gurukula Vasam these days. So, if you need a guru, right, you have to go to one guru, understand, and then follow. Now, some of the options that we have are, we can go directly and attend a class, right? Because Gurukula Vasam is now almost impossible. There are one or two ashramas which conduct a three-year program, right? Like in Anaikatti, Swami Dayananda Saraswati has a three-year program. So that is closest to a Gurukula Vasam. Now, other than that, the next best option is to find a person. Obviously, I am talking of, when I talk of Gita, I am now talking of Advaita Parampara, because the Gita classes that I am conducting are based on Shankara's teaching, Shankaracharya's teaching, which Swami Dayananda Saraswati and Swami Paramarthananda are teaching. Now, obviously, the best option would be to go to Swami Paramarthananda and learn in person. Now, if that is not possible, and the only way people are able to understand is through, say, a webinar, 1 hour or something, I think that is better than not knowing anything at all, because I realized when I did Introduction to Vedanta that most Hindus do not understand what Hinduism is about, right? That is why there is this misconception about multiple gods, multiple idols, and multi-pathway to moksha, etc. So that is the only reason why we are doing this. But this may or may not be the best form, but this is definitely a better form of, you know, learning than not learning at all, right? So, and one important thing is, if you find a guru and you are convinced that the guru is teaching you the right teachings as per a particular tradition, you need to have a consistent and long-term approach to the studies under the guru. That is very important, whoever it is.
Thanks, Rama.
Yeah. Any other questions from anybody else? I'm just seeing there is no more hands raised. So I'm just going to go to let me check the questions here. Yeah. The study of Vishnu Sahasranamam also form part of the preliminary study along with Bhagavad Gita. Again, this question pertains to Veda Antabhaga and Veda Purva Bhaga. Vishnu Sahasranamam is a form of Puja or Parayanam. So it will come under Karma Kandam. So it will come under Karma Yoga. And Karma Yoga you must do, right? We will talk about Pancha Mahayagna. I already covered that, right, as part of Introduction to Vedanta. We will see more about it and in detail in Chapter 3. So if you have not covered, you don't have to worry about it. But any Ishta Devata Puja or any Parayanam of the God comes under Pancha Mahayagna, which is Karma Yoga, right? And it will help in mental refinement or Chitta Shuddhi. Okay? Now, once we start appreciating the world, its beauty, conserving, etc., during the Jivatma enrichment program, won't it get even more difficult later in the self becoming the Paramatma? It sounds contradicting. Please explain. Yeah. What Vedanta says, very, very nice question. In the Pancha Mahayagna, we talk of Bhuta Yajna, we talk of Deva Yajna, Manushya Yajna, right? All of them. Now, when we start revering and appreciating nature around us, right, as part of the Jiva Improvement Program, what happens is we start cultivating a different attitude towards nature. In Vedantic parlance, it is actually looking at nature and the universe as God and not restricting ourselves to just an idol as a God, right? So you are actually going from ekarupa bhakti to anekarupa to arupa bhakti. So you start appreciating nature around you as God, which is actually taking you few steps closer to Advaita and closer to realizing Brahman. So it is not contradicting. If you have not understood the full meaning of what I said, my request is just note down this, because it takes a while. After some classes in Karma Yoga and Jnana Yoga, you will start appreciating this response. Right? Should Gita verses be memorized? Very nice question. Now, it is nice if you can memorize, because it's very, very useful when you can remember the meaning along with the verse. But it is difficult, because it is 700 plus verses, and it would have been nice if during our growing years in childhood, we were asked to actually memorize chapter by chapter. By now, we would have known all the chapters. I'm glad that I see Chinya Mission and other institutions which are conducting these competitions, but still there are only a few chapters which are, you know, we are able to get memorized, but that's also good. Maybe every day if we chant 5 or 6 shlokas, after some time we will be able to remember the verses, right? How to go about studying Gita? Right. What I am now doing is a verse by verse teaching. Now, after the verse by verse teaching, if you are able to pick up Sanskritam in parallel and you are able to understand the basic meanings of the words, then we can do Gita Anvayam and understand the meaning word by word. And if we really gain expertise in Sanskritam, then nothing like actually going to Shankara Bhashyam and learning Gita through Gita Bhashyam. So the choice is ours. Depending on how much time we can invest, we can either, you know, just stop with verse by verse, because anyway the meaning is going to be conveyed, or we can get into, you know, learning a little bit more of Sanskritam and actually embarking on a in-depth study. His Vaikuntha Ekadasi, the Gita day, when Lord Gita delivered this magnum opus. Now, I do not want to comment on this, because there may be conflicting views, but in general on Vaikuntha Ekadasi day, many of us chant Gita. So, it's a nice thing to do on Vaikuntha Ekadasi day also, right? You mentioned that this is based on Shankaracharya and Swami Dayananda Saraswati. Are there differences in the Gita based on these different philosophies? Absolutely, right? I did cover this as part of my introduction. I talked about Vedanta and the Vedanta, that is Upanishad, Bhashyams, and everything that I talked about during introduction to Vedanta are based on Advaita philosophy, which is Shankaracharya's philosophy. So, if you take the Bhagavad Gita also, I am going as per Shankaracharya's philosophy, because Swami Dayananda Saraswati and my Swamiji, Swami Paramarthanandaji, all of them have followed Shankara's philosophy, Shankara's Bhashyam, Shankaracharya's Bhashyam. Now, if you take other people, right, who are non-Advaitin Acharyas, they would focus on Vishishta Advaitam and Dvaitam, and there are verses in the Gita which can be interpreted the Dvaita way, the Vishishta Dvaita way. So therefore, it is very important for me to state that whatever interpretation that I am going to be talking about in all of the verses is going to be based on Shankaracharya's Advaita Vedanta or Advaita Bhashyam only. Which book would you recommend for Gita learning? Now, if any of you are in Chennai, we do have Swamiji's Gita books by chapter, right? So you can pick up all the 18 books whenever you're coming to Chennai. But what I propose to do is the verse by verse meaning that I am giving is directly based on Swamiji's classes. So I am taking it from the textbook and putting it. But Swamiji has a word by word meaning and the verse meaning. So if you want, you can copy, take this, buy this from here. This is one option. Second is, you will also get Swamiji's Gita book in 3 volumes, and you also have Swami Dayananda Saraswati's book. Any of these should be okay. Okay, I think I've covered all the questions, Soumya. Do you see anything that I've missed?
No, I think that's
okay. So thank you very much, and we will meet next week on Sunday, and at 8:25 we will chant the Dhyana Shlokam.